A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed him. The word of the Lord.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon us, those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you.
Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. From the shining cloud, the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, hear him.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
So when I was in high school, I loved to play basketball. Because I played so much basketball, I guess I got pretty good at it. One summer, when I was practicing with the basketball team, and it was the first time in my life we'd started lifting weights, and I discovered that my shoulder did not like bench press. And so I'd be bench pressing, and something would kind of pop in my shoulder. It's like, that's a little weird. So I told my mom, so we got to go see the doctor. So we go see the doctor, and at the time, the doctor diagnosed me with tendonitis. But he said to me something that I would never forget. He said, "You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger." Right? So it was a guy, he was from Germany, this doctor or whatever, so he had that heavy accent, but "You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger." And I remember being so mad at that doctor. What is he talking about, right? I mean, all my life, they've been teaching us, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you put your mind to. All right, so if I push myself hard enough, all right, I can do it. How dare this doctor try to discourage me and shatter my dreams? Right? Well, fast forward a few years, and I was still working at that dream of, professional basketball. And particularly my goal at that time was I'm going to dunk a 10-foot goal. So I'm going to keep working on this, increase my vertical until I can dunk a 10-foot goal. I wanted to jump as high as Michael Jordan, and I just had to push myself so that I could jump that high. So at the time, I was training with 20-pound ankle weights, right, doing all kinds of different exercises. One day, I'm getting ready to take my shower, and I look down at my abdomen, and I see all of these marks on me. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Busted blood vessels, right? And I could hear that doctor once again, "You're not going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger," right? But I didn't want to accept those limitations. Again, I had been told as a child, you can be anything you want. You can do anything you want to do if you just put your mind to it. And I know that the people who told me that when I was growing up, they were just trying to be encouraging. They were trying to motivate me. They were trying to help me to learn to push myself towards excellence. But I can look back now and recognize that they weren't telling me the full truth. No matter how hard I tried, I was never going to be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan. And I certainly was never going to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. In the physical life, in regards to our bodies, there are these hard limits to how far we can go. But, and this is an important but, the truth is that idea does not translate directly over into the spiritual life. So I'll explain what I mean. Sometimes a person comes to talk to me and they'll say this, "Well, I'm trying, Father, but I just have a weak faith. God didn't bless me like he blessed you, or God didn't bless me like he blessed my mother. I just have a weak faith." Just like you'll never be able to jump as high as Michael Jordan, I'm never going to have the faith that you have. But thanks be to God, I'm here to tell you today that this isn't how faith works. Faith isn't some quality that we're either born with and have it, or we're not born with it and we're never going to be able to get it. Faith, we say, is a virtue. In part, It's infused in us in baptism and in confirmation, but as a virtue, it also means that it's a good habit. That means that it's something that can either grow within us if we do certain things to help it to grow, or it can diminish throughout our lives if we do things contrary to the faith. It's affected by how we act. It's affected by how we think. Take Abraham as an example. He's called by God to make this radical act of faith, to leave behind his homeland and to go to a place to which the Lord is leading him. All he has to go on in following this invitation of God is the promise of God. He says, I will make of you a great nation. That's all he has, the word of God, the promise of God. He knew God through the faith that he had learned, but he still had to make this incredible act of trust. That's what the letter to the Hebrews states today. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know the full picture. He didn't know step by step, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to unfold. No, he goes forward not knowing where he was going. St. Paul writes of him in his letter to the Romans, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. Rather, he was empowered by faith and gave God the glory. So Abraham is for us this great example of faith. Well, let's look at today's gospel. Right off the bat, we might think, well, that's not fair, right? They got to see Jesus transfigured. Boy, if I got to see Jesus transfigured, my faith would be a heck of a lot stronger, right? But who was an eyewitness to his transfiguration? Three people, right? Peter, James, and John. Only three people who get to see the transfiguration. Nobody else saw it. Everyone else heard about it, just like we heard about it in today's gospel, through the eyewitnesses who passed down the account. That's how we get to experience it. So for them who didn't see the transfiguration, it was an act of faith. For us too, it's only by faith that we can come to believe in Jesus. But this faith, my brothers and sisters, isn't this sort of fixed quantity that we either have or we don't, right? So we can say, well, I have a weak faith. No, I have a strong faith, right? It's a virtue that can grow within us if we help it to grow. It can also shrink if we do things that cause it to diminish. And so what I'd like to do in this homily is to offer some ways that we can help our faith to grow. St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it's the gift of God. As such, the very first step, if we want to see our faith increase, if we want to see our faith grow, is very simply just to pray for the gift of faith. And, you know, when I say pray for the gift of faith or, like, ask for the gift of faith, I mean, like, really ask, right? Like really pray. Think of that parable of the unjust judge and the widow. What does the judge say to her? Because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she come and strike me. Right? This woman's on my nerves, and I'm afraid if I don't give her what she asks, right, she's going to come and strike me. That's the kind of asking that Jesus is telling us we need to have in our prayer. So ask for the gift of faith, right, but do it with persistence. Do it with energy. Pray from the depths of your heart and beg God constantly, Lord, give me a deeper faith. Lord, help me to truly believe in you, not just once, not just twice or three times, but constantly, right? Knock on heaven's door and wake the Lord up and keep asking for that gift. Next, we have to study our faith. long gone, if it ever really existed in this world, is a Christian culture that just sort of by osmosis passes on the faith to people. If anything, the world that we're living in now is hostile to the faith. If anything, the world that we're living in now corrupts the faith. We have a Christian duty, though, to increase our knowledge of the faith. Thanks be to God, there are an ever-growing number of resources that are available to us to help us to learn about the faith. But we still have to sacrifice our time. We still have to put forth the effort to look for those resources, to take advantage of them, to read them, to listen to them. One of the scariest things, I think, in all of Scripture is in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will inherit the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father." And then he says, right, "But many will be shocked." Right? And I'm going to kind of paraphrase it here. They're going to say, "Well, come on, man, you know me. Right? My mom got me baptized. You know, I went to Mass at Christmas most of the time. I asked you to help me that one time when I was having a really hard time." But Jesus replies, "I never knew you. I never knew you." We have to take ownership of our faith. We have to work really hard to help that faith to grow. Jesus expects us to work at it, to do something to help our faith to grow. And so the question for us to ponder is, do we do that? Are we actively working in ways that will help our faith to grow? Last, we have to work to reject those things that erode away at our faith. Sadly, there's a lot out there in the culture that contradicts our faith. So we have to be extra vigilant in this regard. We have to be on guard in terms of what we watch on TV, what we listen to when we're listening to the radio, what is it that we're looking at on the internet, right? All of those things can affect us. All of those things can affect our faith. So we really have to discern, right, if we've accepted anything, or have we accepted anyone in our lives that in some way is actually damaging our faith. Sometimes we like to pretend, because we don't want to have to give things up, we want to pretend, it's not really affecting me that much. I can watch that TV show, it's not that bad. It's really not too bad. You know, and it's such a good show otherwise, you know. But we might be playing a dangerous game with the devil. Right? We really have to consider that. We might be playing a dangerous game with the devil. Because if so, right, it's never a good idea to play with the devil, right? Your best bet when it comes to the devil is avoid him altogether. So as we receive our Lord in the Eucharist today, maybe we can ask the Lord for an increase in faith, right? To offer that prayer that the apostles themselves offered. Lord, right, to have that conversation with Jesus as we're in communion with him. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to grow in that faith. And to ask him to show us, Lord, show me if there are any habits that I have in my life, any tendencies that are eroding away at our faith. You know, I'm pretty sure, especially at this point in my life, I'm never going to dunk a 10-foot goal, right? It's not happening. But I still have the hope that I can be a saint, right? And that hope, my brothers and sisters, is for every one of you. Everyone in this church here today can be a saint. God will give us the grace, but we have to put forth the effort. And we ask the Lord in the Eucharist for that strength to become the saints he's created us to be.